Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Back in just a few minutes, Sarah Calvert. Sarah is a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, and she is, in fact, a small business attorney, as most of you know who've been listening to the show for a while. She's a principal in Calvert & Associates PC, a law firm she started in 1991. She attended Mary Washington College in Fredericksburg, Virginia for her undergraduate degree in economics and international business. She received her law degree from George Mason University Law School, and she has devoted her practice to providing small business clients with the best legal service and business resources so they can get on to do what they do best. And as those of you who are in small business know, if you can find a good small business person, small business attorney, I should say, you need to hang on to them, because there are not too many of them out there. But we have our one and only with us right now. Sarah, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. I hope I'm not the only.
Well, you're our one and only small business attorney.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. See, I'm going to give you that.
Yeah, we're pretty few and far between. We're poor lawyers is a lot, so.
Well, you know, I can see that. I really can see that, because,
well, yeah. We get paid when the small business owner pays their bills, which, you know, it's 30 days since I'm just 45.
So. The reason I can see that is because I can see you giving away a lot of time.
Oh, yeah, I'm way too nice.
Well,
mean in negotiations or in depositions, but when it comes to my clients, I'm like a mother hen. Okay, don't worry about it. It'll be all right.
Well, in my consulting business, I mean, I've got an office. I have a phone number. I'm in the book. Mm-hmm. I don't have a lock, you know, on my door during the day. It's wide open. Anybody can walk in, and there's a sign out in the yard that says Jim Blasingame, Business Consultant, and you can walk in and you know, talk to my assistant and then to me and say, okay, I've got this problem. And what am I going to do, throw you out? Or what am I going to do, say, okay, I need $300 before I start talking or whatever? No, I talk to you. I sit down and I talk to whoever walks in. I know you do the same thing.
Yeah, we do the same thing.
And how many times are these people, they just have an idea, they just have a dream, and no money, zero money.
Oh, it's so sad.
And so, you know what I do? I give them some time. And I never, at no point in time do I think that I'm ever going to be able to charge them, at least not now.
Yeah, it's very exciting to be wrapped up in other people's dreams. And you hate to pierce dreams or to tell somebody this dream isn't going to work, or this isn't realistic, or, you know, this is nice, but you haven't got any money.
Well, you know,
those are things I hate to tell people. I do, but, you know, in the meantime, I get wrapped up in their dream.
I try not to burst their bubbles too hard because, you know, I keep thinking about what if Bill Gates walked in to
my
office?
Well, that's right.
You know, and said, I want to build.
There are no bad dreams. There's only dreams that haven't yet been achieved.
Well, what if he'd walked in 20 years ago to my office and said, I want to take on IBM.
Mm-hmm.
I want to develop a box that nobody else has ever heard of. You know, and I had said, well, you know, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I mean, here's a guy, I want you to go see him. He needs some help. You need a job. And what if I'd said something like that? So I think about that.
Yeah.
But there are things that you just have to, ground. What I try to do is ground them in some of the fundamentals.
Right.
And try to help them that way. If you do that, if you ground them in the fundamentals, you won't pierce their bubble, so to speak, mm-hmm. and as much. But you will. You sort of let them know the battle that they're about to face. Some of these people who come in don't even know. They have no idea about what they're up against.
Well, there's a real myth about being a business owner that, you know, if you see a business owner walking down the street, you say, oh, that's a business owner. He must make at least $100,000 a year.
Minimum.
And they don't really do anything. They're just kind of in an office all day. And
right. Probably plays golf
whenever
he wants to.
We're not sure what it is they do. And they're kind of, you know, a lot of them are at home all day, so they kind of get to do whatever they want at home, you know, hang out with the kids and play with the dog.
I saw a report one time. You know what the average small business person makes in America?
What's that?
$40,000
That doesn't surprise me at all.
A year.
Surprise me at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, look, I know what I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. You just got back from a trip. Could you take a minute and tell us about that trip?
Sure. I was down in South Carolina, outside of Charleston, about 40 miles north of Charleston, hosted by Ocean Grove Methodist Church down there. And we were helping build a retreat called Hosanna. It's the dream of Reverend Annie Edwards down there. And my church sent a mission team down there to help build the Virginia Pavilion.
And so, what is this retreat?
Well, she calls it a retreat for broken people. They went through Hugo down there.
Uh-huh.
And even 10 years later, there's a lot of scars on the landscape and really within the people as well over a tremendous amount of damage that was done and things that were completely destroyed. So she came up with a concept of putting together a retreat for people who were at a broken part in their lives, either divorce or medical, maybe a diagnosis of cancer. Or
reaching out to the community.
Just reaching out, and that came out of COVID for anybody and any type. We helped build the first picnic pavilion and also built some chapels and then amongst some outdoor chapels and then amongst some trees that had kind of formed a little canopy.
It's a Christian organization, but it's available to anybody.
Yes,
anyone.
It's available and accessible to anyone.
Anyone. What a great
ministry. It was wonderful. She's just one of these very spiritual people that you just kind of you get in contact with her and you kind of get a buzz.
Yeah.
It's neat.
I want to congratulate you for taking some time out of your schedule and going down there but you haven't told me what you did. I want to know what Sarah did.
Well, Sarah mostly helped plant the gardens. I'm not a gardener. I was there as a pair of hands because, I kept threatening, I kept saying, hey, if there's anybody I can sue, let me know. But my skills were very unuseful in this situation.
It made
me dig plant beds and I helped put the tin on the roof for the pavilion. And
you didn't hammer or saw anything?
No, wasn't that much hammering and sawing, and there were plenty of guys that wanted to do that. A friend of mine and I who were down tried to play Amazon woman and pick up some of these heavy posts, and when by the time we were gasping and finally got it to where it was supposed to be, we decided that we were much better gardeners than we were heavy post lifters.
I see.
We used our skills a little more in line with our strength.
Okay, good. Well, I'll tell you, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, folks, we're going to talk about some insurance issues, and then if we have time, we're going to move over into some copyright, trademark, and patent issues. It's 20 after the hour. Got to take a quick break. I'm Jim Blessing in the Small Business Advocate. I will be right back. All right, we're back. It's 24 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, and Sarah Calvert is our special guest. She is our small business attorney. That's what she does for a living. She helps small business owners with their legal matters. And one of the things we're talking about today is her program that she calls 101 Ways to Avoid Liability in Your Small Business. And the issue, the topic at hand, is insurance.
That's right.
Why
on earth would a lawyer talk about insurance? Well, not because I want to be an insurance agent. I'm not. But I think this is an extra line of defense in a lot of the work that we do. A lot of times I can tell you when you call me with a problem, hey, that's what you pay your insurance for. Let's get in contact with your insurance company, and they'll take care of this problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to be able to do that because I like people to be able to be protected in this extra way. One of the first things most people run into is the fact that if they're working out of their home, they may not realize it, but they must notify their homeowner's insurance company that they have a business in part of the house. The reason is, if the UPS guy is delivering something to your house for business, if you've got computer equipment that gets damaged in a flood or a fire, your homeowner's insurance will not cover it unless one of two things happens. First, you must notify them, and different insurance companies do this differently. They will either say, terrific, I'll give you a floater policy, a couple $100 a year maybe, to add on to your homeowner's policy that says you have business equipment there.
And that'll be an extra $20,000-$30,000 for your various equipment and everything.
Yeah, I mean, you need to tell them what you have and what you're doing there. And most of us are not allowed to have too terribly many clients or employees, so we're mostly talking about equipment at this point, but also general liability having to do with the business.
Right.
As it has to do with your premises, like slip and fall of the UPS guy. That's always the one that I worry about.
Mm-hmm.
And then, or the homeowner's insurance policy will say, great, we'll exclude everything now that we know about it, and then you'll need to go out and buy a commercial policy on that small piece of area that you use as your business office.
How often have you seen insurance companies exclude things?
Well, it depends. Some insurance companies don't write any commercial whatsoever, so they won't add a commercial floater.
Yeah.
So there are some insurance companies out there that we have on our homeowner, that do homeowners but do no commercial policies.
Okay, let's differentiate now. The two points here, folks, is casualty and liability.
Right.
Let's differentiate between those two.
Casualty is when is fire, flood, when
accident,
yeah, things like that.
Yep.
And then liability is issues that happen within the business. It may be somebody sues you for doing something wrong. or somebody sues you for not providing a service. Those kinds of things are not covered under this. We're just talking about casualty insurance right now.
Right. Just,
so
just
the type of insurance that would protect your home if it had a fire or flood or was struck by lightning.
If you've got a personal computer
mm-hmm.
and you're noodling around on it,
mm-hmm.
doing a little bit of business at home,
mm-hmm.
and you got a little bitty teeny tiny, maybe you're doing some writing or something
right.
for someone. It's a teeny tiny little home-based business.
Right.
And you lose that computer or something, wouldn't you think more than likely your insurance company would cover that? I mean, they basically wouldn't even know that you
had it. Well, I was going to say, I would many, many years, moons ago, in another incarnation in my life while I was in law school, I was helping my husband start a home-based CPA firm. And I was in charge of the computers because at that time I was the only one that knew anything about computers, which was not saying very much. And I failed to institute any type of backup system. And on April 13th, we lost the motherboard on the main computer that we were using.
Yeah.
And all the tax returns that had yet to be published were in there, gone and missing. So we hired a company to come in and work overnight. You know, they basically worked for about straight 24 hours, paid them a fortune. And when we got done, they looked at us and said, "You did have insurance for this, didn't you?"
Huh.
And we said, "What do you mean?" "Well, you can add insurance. And sometimes you have to specifically ask for it. On the loss of data in the computer and what it costs to reproduce that data in the computer. So be sure that if you haven't asked for it, if your business is reliant on a computer system, that you ask specifically for coverage for data."
And folks, as you are planning your home-based business, or you're planning to grow your business a little bit in your home there, and you start talking to your insurance company, and if they act like they are not interested in helping you grow a little bit, well, that's the time, as Sarah indicated a minute ago, that's the time for you to start shopping around
right.
to find another insurance company.
There's lots of casualty insurance companies out there. It's a consumer product. You find somebody who's going to give you the type of coverage that your business needs. Well, then they ask the reasonable question, what does my business need? Your business needs to know that if somebody gets hurt, it's taken care of. If something damages your assets, that it's taken care of.
Right. All right, Sarah, stand by. Folks, we're going to talk about insurance some more when we come back after these messages. It's 29 after. I'm Jim Blastingame, the Small Business Advocate. Sarah Calvert is our special guest. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Stay with us, please. We're back. It's 33 after. Welcome back, heroes. I'm Jim Blastingame, Small Business Advocate. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate your business. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you have a question you'd like to call us about, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Sarah Calvert is our special guest, and she has a website too.
It's www.calvertandassociates, all spelled out, .com.
All right, and give us a phone number.
Sure, 800-526-5665, or if you're in the Northern Virginia area, it's 703-591-5315.
Thank you, Sarah. Did you know that this is a great day in history?
No, please tell me.
1847,
mm-hmm.
on this day,
mm-hmm.
it was a great day.
1847.
The donut was invented.
Oh, well, now you stumped me on that one. I try to steer clear as much as I can.
What a wonderful day. Well, there should be a shrine somewhere erected to the man or the woman, whoever it was. I don't know who it was.
Is it Krispy Kreme?
I don't know. I don't care. You know, I eat them all. I like them all. The donut is invented. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about workers' comp insurance. First,
okay.
We're talking with Sarah Calvert about how to avoid liability in your small business, and one of the things on the table today is insurance.
Yes, on our hit parade, we're going to avoid lacking the insurance we're required to have, first of all. And most states require, and this is a state-by-state thing, so you need to check with your local attorney or insurance agent, but most states require at a certain level of number of employees that you have workman's compensation. Some say from the first employee. In my state, in Virginia, they say 2.5 employees. And I always say a half employee.
What does that person look? What does that half person
I always
look like?
Say it's not a very short person. It's just a part-time person. So, yeah, this 2.5 is not talking about physical demeanor. It's talking about the hours worked. So if you've got two full-time people and you add another person, even part-time, then you're required in my state of Virginia to have workman's compensation insurance.
And that's all over the board, all across the country.
Yeah, as I said,
some states
places,
are 5, I think.
Right. And some are at the first employee you're required to have it. Let me explain what it is, and you may decide you want to have it from the first employee no matter what anyway. This is the type of insurance that is mandated by the state, usually, that protects you, the employer, from being sued by your employee for a personal injury. So if they're working on a lathe or they're out driving a truck for you and get a car accident, or they're doing anything for you that causes them to be harmed during the scope of their work, if they're injured, there's one of two things they can do. If you don't have workman's compensation insurance, you have a big lawsuit on your hands because they're suing you for a personal injury. Or if you've got workman's compensation insurance, they go into the system and the system takes care of them. It may, you know, provide them with medical care. It may provide them with occupational retraining. It may tell them, you know, that you can go back on light duty now, and, you know, in a month you can go back to full duty.
But they also are paid. They also are compensated.
Yes, and they're also compensated for their wages. Not, you don't pay their wages at that
right.
point. The workman's compensation people pay them their wages.
And this is an insurance company that does this, folks. This is not part of the government. This is you cutting a deal with an insurance company.
Mm-hmm. And the insurance company is required to have certain rates usually by the state. So the more difficult and dangerous your profession is, the higher rates you're going to pay. If you're a roofer, set aside a lot of money for your workman's compensation.
Or if you use hand tools, saws,
yes.
If you use anything that might be dangerous, you're going to pay a lot more than if your people are
office workers
or their telephone marketers.
And outside
like that.
Salespeople are charged, or you pay a lot more for them than you do for your internal people.
Because they're on the road.
Right.
Okay, and one other thing, every state is different because of the nature of tort law in those states.
It also depends a lot on the nature of the insurance lobby, frankly, in that state. The insurance companies obviously want to give the least amount for the most amount of money. That's how they make their profits.
But so, but there are states out there, Sarah, that are not friendly to insurance companies.
Well, that's right. If they don't have a good lobby in that state, they're not a state that's friendly to it, then they're going to be required to do a substantial amount for a much less fixed rate.
One of the real hot buttons in a lot of politics in some states, especially for small business owners, is what politicians will support making some changes, doing some promoting bills that will provide tort reform in states. That's tort reform is a big deal across the country these
and
days.
And this is a key area in which you see it affect your everyday small business life. You may think you don't have time for politics as a small business owner,
right.
but you don't have the money not to at least pay attention to what's going on.
When you hear me, folks, when you hear me talk about joining the NFIB, which represents small business in every state as well as nationally, when you hear me talk about being sure that you're a part of the Chamber of Commerce, which I know Sarah is and I am, those are the people who both of those organizations might cost you $350 a year total, and for that you get lobbyists locally, federally, and on a state level. It's some of the best money you can spend, and those people, you could get more than that back in the first year just in workers' comp savings.
Yeah, the reason I left the chamber that I first belonged to when I first went into business was it was a very large chamber for the county in which that I do business, and it had a lot of large Fortune 500 companies in it. And when it came to the lobbying in the legislative committee, which I worked on, we had a full-time paid lobbyist, and we gave them an agenda and sent them down to Richmond and also to Washington to go after our agenda. But that agenda was based on Fortune 500 needs, not on small business.
Absolutely.
Needs. So I left that chamber and went to a smaller chamber.
Small business according to big business. That's what I call it.
That's right.
Stand by, Sarah. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, it's 39 after. I'm Jim Blessing, a small business advocate, 888-822-8255. We're back. It's 44 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blessing, the small business advocate, and Sarah Calvert is our special guest. She is a small business attorney in the Fairfax, Virginia area. And Sarah and I are talking about insurance issues. And the last subject we've been talking about is workers' comp. Now, I want to have a question for you, Sarah. Sometimes I see it called, and it's called workman's comp.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I see it, and it's called workers' comp.
It all depends on whether you're a politically correct state or whether you're sticking to the old-fashioned word of workman's
comp. That's the deal. It's all PC, right?
That's right.
It's
whether or not the old boy legislators have figured it out.
So really, the old way is workman's comp.
Yes.
And the new way is workers' comp.
Yes, okay. Which is why my state, Virginia, still lives in the workman's comp area.
I got you. Okay, well, I just want to make sure, because sometimes, you know, that if people see that, they hear us calling it one thing and they see the other, they
right.
might think it's something different. It's all the same thing. It's
different terminology, right.
All right, here's a question for you. Folks, this workers' comp issue is a really a big one because it affects so many of you. You know, Sarah, there are some small business owners that if they're sort of like health insurance, they would like to cover their employees, but they literally would not be able to be in business if they couldn't. I mean, if they had to cover them with workers' comp insurance.
Right. Well, unfortunately, in most states, it's mandatory at a certain place. So.
But I'm talking about But let's say you're in a state where there's, you have to have 5 employees.
Right. If you have less than that, you don't have to do it. But
right.
But if you're in a dangerous profession and it's going to cost a lot of money, that's also an indication that your profession takes a lot of hits for accidents.
And if
it behooves you to have a good safety policy and to develop good internal procedures, make people wear safety things. I have a lot of business owners that provide safety equipment and the people never use it.
Yeah.
And I think that's a crime. I think that the employer should be standing over there penalizing them, sending them home, or firing them if they chronically don't use safety equipment that we know works.
And if you're one of these people who are saying, which I've heard people say this, I can't afford, I would go out of business if I had to provide that insurance. As Sarah said, if you're in a business that's potentially dangerous, more hazardous than say working at a desk, then maybe you need to rethink what you're doing. And one of the things I wanted to point out, though, when I wanted to ask you a question, Sarah, is if I'm a contractor and I've got a couple of employees and you've asked me to roof your house or put gutters on your house or paint your house or whatever, and I'm just I work out of my pickup truck and I've got a couple of guys working for me, and you hire me to work on your house and one of my guys cuts a finger off or falls and breaks a leg or something like that on your property working for me, who's at risk?
Well, in most states, if it's a performance of a duty on the job, and this person is employed by the person that you hired, it should be a workman's compensation claim.
But if there's no, all right, now remember, I'm this little guy.
Mm-hmm.
I've got 2 employees. I'm working out of my truck. I have no workers' comp insurance.
Well, and then that could the employee legitimately could sue both if there's any sorts of hazards in the house.
It was just an accident. There was no hazard. I literally fell off. The guy literally fell off the ladder. There was nothing wrong with the ladder.
Well, different states would allow different things. In my state, it would only be allowed to be a workman's compensation claim, which would not be covered under the workman's compensation since he doesn't have it. So it would be a claim against the business owner.
But not the homeowner.
But you could probably bring the homeowner into the lawsuit in most states.
Yeah, as a co-defendant.
Yeah, so which is why when you're having somebody work on your home as a consumer or a homeowner, you want to see that they've got workman's compensation insurance because then the whole issue's dealt with.
Absolutely.
Because you cannot claim workman's compensation insurance and sue somebody else.
See, that's one of the things that annoys me a little bit is when you're trying to provide that kind of coverage and someone else is not, and they beat your bid by $50 over $1,000, then, you know, maybe the other company's workers' comp cost for that job is $75.
Yep.
So, you know, I do recommend, folks, that if you're getting people to work on your property, your business or your home, ask for their workers' comp certificate.
Yeah, and that's not an uncommon thing to be asked for, so don't think you're asking for something truly bizarre, because the people that say yeah and go away and never show it to you are usually the ones that don't carry it.
Right. In fact, if you do business, if you're in that business and you do business with a government agency, they always
require it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on and talk about some other things. What's next on your list then?
Well, in order to prevent accidents at home by an employee from becoming workman's compensation accidents. We've seen this many, many times. You know, I hurt my back. Well, yeah, you were playing volleyball last night and you hurt your back, but you didn't hurt your back lifting the engine out of the car that, you know, that you were working on. So you need to have a written policy if you've got enough employees for workman's compensation that says that if they're injured that they immediately report it to a supervisor and have them write a written report as to how it happened. You want to make sure at all times that you're using your coverage to its best advantage, and that you don't have frivolous claims. This is a huge issue, at least in my state. We're constantly battling, you know, whether the doctor says it really happened on the job or whether the employee says it happened on the job, and and what kinds of proof we have to have for these kinds of things. So make sure that at the very minimum you've got an official written policy stating that any accidents on the job must have a written report filed as soon as possible. Now, obviously, if they're bleeding on the floor, you're not going to say, wait a minute, you've got to write a report. But, you know, the typical kind of, gee, I hurt my back or pulled my leg or the non-bleeding, non-serious type of wound.
Right. All right. Sarah, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, if you're having trouble being able to afford workers' comp insurance, give me a call or send me an email. I've got some ideas on how to help you reduce your costs on that. In the meantime, we've got to take a break. It's 50 after, and we're going to be right back with Sarah Calvert. I'm Jim Blassingham, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us, please. It is a beautiful morning. I'm Jim Blassingham, a Small Business Advocate. I'm visiting with my good friend, Sarah Calvert. She is our resident small business attorney. She's a member of our Brain Trust. She is the principal of Calvert & Associates PC, a law firm out of Fairfax, Virginia. Sarah, give us your website one more time, please.
It's www.calvertandassociates, all spelled out, .com. 800-526-5665.
Local.
703-591-5315.
We got this down pat, folks. Rapid
fire.
Phone,
but, you know, you'll catch me on one of the others.
And my website, folks, is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I appreciate all of you who've been checking it out. And thank you so much for all the email and all the people who have been signing my guest book. Thank you very much for that. That really means a lot when I hear from you. Sarah, let's wrap up the hour by finishing up on insurance. And
okay.
By the way, folks, next time Sarah is with us, we're going to talk about copyrights, trademark, patent and confidentiality. That's going to be the topic next week.
Okay.
Go ahead. Insurance.
Two more points I want to make before we leave insurance. One, if you have assets to protect, and I mean houses, bank accounts, maybe you've got a spouse that inherited money, big or little, if your assets are important to you, there's something you might want to consider, and that's called an umbrella policy. For a very small amount of money, usually anywhere between $200 and maybe $500, you can add a couple of million dollars worth of backup policy.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a policy that says, all right, your auto insurance on your commercial policy covers you up to a certain amount, maybe up to $150,000. But this umbrella will cover you up to another million or another $2 million or another
mm-hmm.
$3
million mm-hmm.
In injuries. So, or in whatever. It's basically a backstop. And because it's the secondary insurance, it's extremely inexpensive. So if you've got things and you really want to make sure that, by golly, you know, we're never going to run out of insurance money, we're never going to run out of protection, this is something you might want to chat over with your insurance agent.
Typically, any insurance agent worth his or her salt, and I don't think I've ever met one that didn't do this,
mm-hmm.
they will absolutely recommend, they'll actually put the umbrella into the proposal. But I mean, that's like insurance selling 101.
Right, yeah.
But do not take that out, folks.
Yeah, it's really a very good deal.
Don't be penny wise and pound foolish and think you're saving $250.
Yeah,
it's the best insurance money you can spend.
And it's very, and frankly, very inexpensive insurance money for providing that backstop coverage. There are catastrophes. Both Jim and I, I'm sure, have seen them. That a catastrophe happens, nobody plans it. It's not something that you want to have happen, but you just cannot always protect yourself from a catastrophe, you know, that's beyond your control. Someone
Absolutely.
Getting injured, someone getting hurt, you know, a horrible car accident, those kinds of things. Usually we're looking at millions of dollars worth of problems.
Absolutely, especially if you or any of your employees are out in the community moving around in vehicles.
Yes, vehicles is usually the one we worry about the most.
Yeah, or you're handling something that could potentially hurt someone else in some way, their equipment or whatever. All right, what's next? Let's talk
and
about...
And speaking of total catastrophes, what would happen if you were, for example, the people I was with last week, you were in the midst of Hurricane Hugo and your entire business was wiped away and your insurance agent comes up with his checkbook or her checkbook and stands in front of you and says, great, now tell me what you own.
Mm-hmm.
And you're standing there with dripping wet clothes and that's all you have to your name. It is very difficult at that point to say, oh, by the way, I own, and sit
right.
down and list what you own.
Right.
Take a video camera. We all have them these days. Or take a camera that you can put on your computer. Make a copy of it. Keep your home one at the office and your office one at home. Go around, talk about the different things you see when you bought them, how much they cost when you bought them, and this will be something you can just hand it to your insurance agent and say, all right, here's what I lost. here's a videotape of it, here's the pictures of it, here's the album of it. It sounds like
And make two copies and
make
keep
two
them co-
Yeah, have two copies.
Hey, yes. Sarah, got to wrap it up for this hour. As always, you did great. Thank you very much.
All righty.
We'll see you next time.
Have a good week, guys.
You too. See you later. Got to wrap it up for this hour, folks. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be back in a few minutes. Sarah.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.